Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in. Grant and Danny on the Fan, June 24th, 2022. Nice show planned for you today, including a 425 game. Does Ryan know it? For tickets to the GD Comedy Show Danny's starring in next week. Plus, at 5 o'clock, Ryan McDonough, our NBA insider at Odyssey, on last night's NBA draft. Hello, Daniel.
What's up, bud? I consider myself, and obviously I'm not an athlete anymore. I'm just a dude trying to not be pudgy. But I still consider myself a pretty coordinated guy, I'd say, as far as human beings go, right? Whether it's catching and throwing or just sort of, you know, not falling down at random times. I don't know of a more clumsy coordinated person than me. I feel like I lead the league in stubbed toes. I feel like I'm always banging my knees on protrusions. Today, reaching down to get these shoes, just these little shoes that I put on my little feet, I hit my head, the top of my head, I don't know if this is the crown or whatever you call it right up here, so hard on a wall. Walls don't move. Walls, not it's not like an unexpected thing that's jutting out.
In addition to being painful, that's always also embarrassing, even if no one's around. Because you're saying to yourself, how did I let that happen?
Injured by a wall that exists at all times. This is not somebody moved something. It's not I stepped on one of my son's toys or like I got the Lego shrapnel in the foot, which everyone knows how painful that is if you've had kids. It wasn't one of those. It wasn't one of the coffee table isn't where I would put it. It's where my wife put it, so I hit my shin. This was bending down to pick up a shoe. I didn't spatially judge where everything was. And I hit the bleep out of my head so hard and it still hurts.
So the last time I did something like that, I was getting into my car. In fact, I was in the passenger side, but I was getting into the car and I didn't lower my head down enough. And so I just slammed my head into the side of the car as I was getting
in. Like what?
Slammed it. The collision with my head into the side of the car, not unlike a helmet-to-helmet collision in the NFL. I was seeing stars. I mean, we now know that's a concussion, right? I had the little fluttering stars all around.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, in addition to being in pain and now dazed and worrying about the ramifications 40 years later from whatever I've just done to myself, what a stupid thing I just did. How dumb am I that I ran into, basically, this side of a car that wasn't moving? This inanimate object beat me just based on my own dumbness. I relate to that. I know exactly where you're coming from. I'm sorry about that. That's tough, man.
It's just because, as you said, it's so embarrassing. No one's around. Everyone's out of the house. People are doing their various things, just living out their lives. I headbutted the wall trying to pick up a shoe. Wasn't like I was trying to kill a spider. Nothing heroic. Wasn't getting a mosquito who had infiltrated my abode. I was picking up a shoe to put on my stupid foot, and I headbutted a wall, and it hurt so bad.
You thought the wall was going to move for you.
Yeah.
I saw Top Gun last night. I would tell you that I loved it and that it was great, but you already knew that because I had seen it twice already. IMAX, man. When's the last time you saw a movie in IMAX?
Interstellar. I saw an IMAX.
Udvar Hazy. I thought it was Udvar Hazy. That's what I always say. But I heard the recorded thing they play when they start the movie last night. Say,
is
welcome.
It Udvar Hazy?
Udvar Hazy, I guess, is what
they
say.
Wow. I'm over here doing it wrong.
We've all been doing it wrong for a while, I guess. Just so good. It was great. Go enjoy yourself a couple of hours of biggest screen you can find, best audio you can find, Top Gun Maverick. A good time for all. But I got to shout out my guy. So I've told you about this restaurant in Tyson's that I love, Randy's.
Mm-hmm.
Steakhouse, great American restaurant that guarantees you wonderful service and a terrific experience with delicious food. But I parked at Tyson's in this Randy's parking lot, met up with my buddy. We drove out to the Udvar-Hazy to watch the big screen IMAX Top Gun. And as I was leaving the car and getting ready to get in his car, I get a call from my buddy George over there at Randy's. He's like, "What are you doing, man?" I said, "Oh, I'm just leaving my car here, you know, whatever." And I think he's going to scold me. He's like, "I'll come up to the front." He gives me a box with cupcakes and cookies.
Come on.
Dead serious. He just saw me through the window. And out of the kindness of his heart, they got Best Buns right over there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Just an incredible.
So with his little peepers, he spies old Grant Paulson pulling up and rolling out. He's like, wait a minute.
Portly, disheveled radio host falling out of his car. And he said, "What are you doing? You weren't going to come in and say hello?" And I said, "I wasn't going to bother you middle of the day."
Yeah, I'm on my way out to Chantilly to the Udvar-Hazy.
And he's like, "Well, hang on. Come on up to the front door."
Amazing.
Okay. Figured he's going to dap me up, whatever. Comes out with a nice big box of cupcakes and stuff for your guy. Just delicious baked goods.
Just
and
incredible.
Treats. They're just good people.
And again, how is anyone thin?
Great American restaurants. I love you. I've always loved you. I will continue to love you. All right, out there, the Patsy's and Randy's establishment. So shout out to them. NBA draft last night. The Washington Wizards on the clock at number 10 have a new player. Johnny Davis, baby. Wisconsin, 6'5", 194. A sophomore. This was a poorly kept secret. Every mock draft I saw for about 3 weeks had Johnny Davis to the Wizards. And then lo and behold, he is the pick. He was a breakout star at the collegiate level, known as being ultra tough, puts pressure on opposing defenses with the ability to finish, and was a guy that was developing and kind of working on his three-point shot, but really, really good college player at Wisconsin, and he was the pick for the Wiz last night.
With the 10th pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Washington Wizards select Johnny Davis from the University of Wisconsin.
Really, really efficient college score. Stepped up in a couple of big games. When Purdue was ranked third in the country, they were just beating the snot out of people. He had a 37-point game against Purdue. I remember watching him before I'd really heard a ton about him. I watched that Wisconsin-Purdue game, and I went, who is this? That guy needs some attention.
Scoring 37 in college in a 40-minute game, that's really, really tough. He averaged 20 a night. He was a 19.7 point, 8.2 rebound, couple assist a game guy in college this past year in 31 games. He played almost 35 minutes a game.
He had another big, I think he had a 30-point game against someone else that was pretty good that just kind of cemented it, right? It wasn't just a one day he was unconscious. Doing a lot for a Wisconsin team, Big Ten Player of the Year. I don't know what he's going to be at the next level. You heard a couple different things from Tommy Shepard and you know people that do this kind of analysis. He's probably a two guard at this level. Played the three in college, but we're in this area of positionless basketball. You guys, he can handle a little bit positionless basketball. He can pass some, and then the same breadth about positionless basketball, you'll hear the same person telling you about positionless basketball talk about the need for a point guard. You know what I mean? Like, we're still trying to get a point guard. Well, I thought we were doing positionless. It kind of doesn't quite make sense, but he can play. I mean, this I think for them. Easy to say, best player on the board, best player they had remaining. There may be some guys with some more upside. This was a very safe pick. Some people like A.J. Griffin, but the injury history concerns you a little bit with him, the sharpshooter from Duke. He's just a very good, solid, get-you-buckets right now, day one in the NBA kind of player. You know, they're touting his defensive acumen. TBD, to be honest with you. You never know how guys are going to defend at this level.
I've heard that.
We'll see. I was going to say, I've heard that before. But this dude can score. A developing three-point shooter, a guy that can get 20 a game without being bombs away from three, lets you know that there's some offensive acumen there.
Well, I also think sometimes you can, and we're not scouts, but you can watch a guy shoot threes and you can figure out if there's a chance he'll end up being a really good shooter. And to me, I'm not ruling him out as a guy who could knock down threes for years and years to come in the
NBA. I think that's coming. I really do.
I believe you, and I'm with you, and I would say the same. 37 against Purdue, you referenced. He had 30 against Houston.
Houston,
as well.
That was the team. Yeah, and that team defensively is impossible to deal with.
He scored 33 times. He did it against Indiana mm-hmm. as well. He had games where he was 4 of 7 from three-point range against Houston, 4 of 5 against Northwestern when he scored 27. He had a 3-for-7 deep night against Iowa when he scored 26. So that's kind of my big question, because I think I care more about your ability to shoot than anything else. In today's NBA, that I don't care what position you play. Mm-hmm. My first question is, what kind of shooter is this person? But I do think he can drive, he can get to the rim, he can score. I like a lot of those things about him. This was Jay Billis's breakdown. It was tough to get analysis on the players being drafted last night, if you were watching draft shows, between all the other stuff they were talking about, who wears what best, and who has the drip, and who has the cool jacket, though, and what's the message inside. But if you watched for long enough, you could occasionally get some insight. And this was one of the clips we found after some very thorough
digging.
For some analysis on one of the players that got drafted.
He can score at all three levels, but he's especially effective in the mid-range. I think he's a complete player, but he's best when the lights really are brightest. Against top 25 opponents, Malik, he averaged 24 points a game, including 37 on the road at Purdue. He was fantastic at Indiana, had 25 at Michigan State. Wisconsin won on the road at all those places for the first time ever, largely because of Johnny Davis and how he performed under those bright lights. He's got really good defensive instincts. He makes really good reads on the defensive end to shoot the gap and get steals, and he rebounds his position. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a knockdown three-point shooter, but he can get his own, and he's a really good wing scorer.
So that, to me, the last sentence there, really
that's
good wing
what matters
scorer.
To me.
Like, that's what I care about. And even on draft night, I've talked myself into it, and I've gotten really excited about Denny Avdija, who's become a decent NBA player, and at times he plays like a stopper on the defensive end. He's actually really good at times defensively for the Wizards. But whether it was Rui or we're talking about Corey Kispert, a couple of the Gonzaga guys who I have liked, to me, this is the best offensive player of the recent drafting a guy out of college crop. And I think, while not a direct translation, there's nothing else more important in terms of figuring out, can this guy be a really good NBA player, then is he outstanding offensively in college? And this guy was.
The phrase for me that matters is I consider scoring in the NBA three-tiered. Can you clean up someone else's mess or get out in the break, right? So if somebody's dunking rebounds, catching lobs, whatever, it's very dependent. Can you catch and shoot? Are you a dependent offensive player in that way? Can you get your own? The get your own offense, it's something that good players that you just mentioned, I don't really trust Rui to be able to get his own offense. Corey Kispert can't really get his own offense. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Just means that you aren't in that group. Getting your own offense, because let's face it, this league is really, really good. The defensive schemes are genius. Everybody is so smart, and they make you do things that are uncomfortable. Every once in a while, you got to just go one-on-one. When the play breaks down and there's 7 seconds on the shot clock, sometimes it's your ball on the wing against one other person. What are you going to do? Can you score more often than you turn it over? Can you score more often than you get a bad shot? That guy can get his own offense. That matters. Now, if you can't have five guys on the court at the same time, that's all they can do is get their own offense. You get, you know, my turn, your turn, and the offense doesn't work. But it comes down to that. A dozen, two dozen possessions per NBA game, somebody's got to be able to get you more buckets more often than not. And that sounds to me like the kind of player that he is.
I also wonder, from a fit standpoint, how this will work. We had a couple of draft experts on this week, and whenever we brought him up, and we tried to with every analyst, because, again, he was the most linked player to the Wizards.
Often was, yeah.
For the last month, almost. Most of them said this is an off-ball guard, but that he could play minimally for minutes here or there, you know, could run your offense, could go through him, he could have the ball at the point. When I hear that, it tells me he's not a point guard, and we know that. I mean, he's not a traditional point guard, but they've got Bradley Beal, who's kind of a ball-dominant non-point guard as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I saw at least one comp last night where someone's NBA comp, like, if it goes well for him, he could become, was Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal.
Now, I think that I'd be giddy if they had two Bradley Beals, right? I mean, in the grand scheme of things, after drafting this guy 10, when you took Beal 3. But I guess my point is, they were not going to get their point guard last night, which is really what they need. The only way they were going to solve that was if they made some blockbuster trade. There was speculation that they might do something and bring in a veteran. It didn't happen last night. So I understand you can't solve that problem when there's not a pick there to be made. But I do kind of wonder, we have done the thing where you've just got guys that need the basketball in their hands who aren't really point guards beyond Bradley Beal. Like, I don't think Spencer Dinwiddie is a true point guard. I think we kind of found that out, right? It hasn't worked. So I wonder a little bit about the fit. But I actually think if you're just talking about the player they drafted, I think they drafted a really good player and got good value at 10.
I agree with that assessment. Again, you still see the shopping list. You mentioned something, though, that got me to thinking. There was an awful lot of it, and maybe this is just recency and I'm kind of forgetting about drafts past, for all the intrigue that supposedly was there about teams maneuvering and moving around and this shift and that and this trade and that, it was very boring in the top 10. Everybody just kind of stood where they were and made a pick. Only a couple surprises, I would say. First pick one was a pretty big surprise. I don't think most people had Banchero going
so how did that
until
happen?
The morning of.
So Woj came out yesterday afternoon, excuse me, and he said, here's the top three picks in this order. 1, 2, 3. It wasn't right. 1 and 3 were flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whoa, you can get something wrong. We've seen that. Like occasionally Schefter gets something wrong. Woj has a 9.95 batting average. You can get something wrong. But in this day and age of sports gambling, the markets immediately reflected that where no one's going to be betting on Banchero to go first because Woj just told you he's going third. I mean, you could have gotten that probably at like +3 something. Crazy how that happened. And I just wonder what kind of rules there are
I know.
With insiders. Not that I'm saying Woj did anything wrong, but maybe we need to start thinking about that. Like, when Woj said that, all the markets then reflected, okay, we know the draft order. And it was wrong.
And
we
it was wrong.
We spent the whole day saying, here's the draft order, 1, 2, 3, and it didn't happen.
Now, again, these are mock drafts, and everybody's just, you know, doing their best educated guesses, but I didn't see Keegan Murray from Iowa, good player, going to the Kings in one mock draft.
But that's so different than the Schefter of basketball saying,
yes,
the top three picks are now locked in. The order tonight will be 1, 2, 3, and then that didn't happen.
And that, and so the point I was making is that that's a genuine surprise. That's, oh, wow, what an upset in the draft. That's what makes it fun. That's why we watch. This was a different animal. And I can tell you, if I threw a little Skrilla down on who the number one pick was, thinking I could turn my 5 into 650, I'd be pretty pissed off this morning or last night when it went down that way. But, yeah, I mean, Ben Carroll, higher floor, maybe a little bit lower ceiling than Jabari Smith, but that's, yeah, the surprise of how that went down. But you don't have any trades until the Knicks basically shuffle the deck for some future cap space and some potential, you know, extra first-rounders down the line so they can make a splash for somebody that becomes available at some point. That was your first sort of major action of the night.
Arch Manning chooses Texas. That came out yesterday afternoon. I thought that was a big deal because everyone was kind of screaming about the fact that he's not going to the SEC. And as I thought about it more last night, it kind of dawned on me, it doesn't even matter really who chooses where now because they can transfer as soon as they want to. Like it used to be when you committed to a school, it kind of meant something. You were going to be at that school for multiple years and we can kind of assume that you're going to play your whole career there. That's never been less the case than right now. So him choosing Texas, I don't know how interesting that is or how locked in that is. Let's say he gets beaten out. He's not the starter there. He and the coach get into an argument. He'll be somewhere else next year. But we still react as if he'll be a Longhorn for the rest of his career. Something I was thinking about with the recruiting.
Yeah, it's the landscape has changed, certainly. Right? The instant a guy doesn't play well in a certain scheme or system, he's now with NIL, he's already transferring, the portal's open, and he goes somewhere else. I mean, see Rattler, Spencer. What college is he on now? 3, 4? I don't even remember the number.
Where is he now?
Is he at South Carolina or USC? I can't remember. Seriously, like he's moving around. I think it's his third place, or am I nuts?
No, you're 100% right. He was at Oklahoma and moved on. Yeah, I remember from QB1 and thinking, this is not my favorite kid.
It's not my favorite kid.
Like, there are players on QB1 like Justin Fields in high school, or Jake Fromm even, where I go, I want this guy to succeed. I want Justin Fields to have a great life and make tens of millions of dollars. I didn't really have that vibe with Spencer Rattler.
I guess it's just two schools, Oklahoma, now South Carolina, but
it felt like more.
It just feels like it's always something.
Yesterday, we were going to get into this, and we ended up not having time to, but I know it's been chewing at you. Ron Rivera issued a statement where he basically said, stop talking about the past. Judge us on what we've done since I've been here. And you want to do that. Your point is, oh, just the last couple of years? Okay, we'll judge you on those couple of years. And we'll dive into that next. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Remember, at 4:25, your chance to win tickets to the GD Comedy Show, and we play Does Ryan Know It? This is Grant and Danny.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I like the pick, again, because I think what you got with Johnny Davis is a winning mentality. I mean, when you look at what he did last year at Wisconsin, he put that team on his back. He plays both ends of the floor. He measured out bigger than expected at the NBA Combine, so he's got enough size to play on or off the basketball. We know he can create some offense, albeit in a very mid-range heavy, sometimes inefficient way. So, again, how well is he going to shoot the three ball? Efficiency-wise, it was not good last year at Wisconsin, but I think a large part of that was because of the role he had to play and because of the fact that I think he was doing his best to play through injury at the end of the season. If you go back to his freshman year, he shot much better, and I think that is a better indication of his ability to at least make spot-up shots. But you've got a competitive two-way player who's just going to come in and fight for every inch he can.
Adam Hanga of CBS Sports on the newest Washington Wizard. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. We'll be discussing the NBA draft throughout the program today. Johnny Davis coming to the district. Hopefully we'll get him on the show next week and get to chat with him, get to know him a little bit. You wanted to talk about the Ron Rivera statement this week, which was his attempt, essentially, to say, leave us alone. We're trying to change this. Me and my staff, who have only been here for a couple years, have nothing to do with the past, which is true. Judge us on the time that we've been here.
Yeah, Jason Wright penned a letter as well to team employees via Dan and Tanya that they released Adam Schefter, their de facto statement to what was going on as well, which basically says, hey, look at how great we're doing. For the sake of brevity, I'll go quick here. This is from Ron Rivera. With all due respect to the proceedings, I want to clarify a few things. When Dan and Tanya Snyder were in the process of hiring me, they asked me to do two things. Win, haven't done that, and help us change our culture. So to be clear, on January 2nd, 2020, the day I was hired, we started putting into place tangible protocols in our efforts to correct any inappropriate workplace issues and improve our workplace environment. The Snyders are very deliberate in finding the best person to run the business side, and I was consulted throughout the process. We agreed that Jason Wright was the best person, not because he checked off a box as a minority, but because of his experience as an NFL player, his education and work experience as a partner with McKinsey & Company. Jason has been nothing but exceptional in hiring a talented and diverse group of people to run the business side. Throughout the fall of 2020, the organization saw many new standards put in place and protocols for employees to voice and address any issues, as well as putting an NFC East division winning team on the field. When the Wilkinson report was completed in the spring of 21, on behalf of the NFL, our organization has already put into place or was in the process of implementing the suggestions mentioned in the report. So he goes on to basically say, in here and in general, judge us by what we've done.
Yeah, he says these investigations into inappropriate workplace issues predate my employment. Fact, most of the things that have been looked into and alleged are not only from before he was here, but many, many years before he was here. He said he can't change the past. We get that.
Totally.
I would hope that our fans, the NFL and Congress, can see that we are doing everything in our power to reverse the past and to never repeat those workplace issues, is what he said. He then finally said, and know what that our employees are respected, valued, and can be heard. And then he has that checklist, right, where it says, change the culture, and he's done that. Check. The culture has been changed. That's what he's claiming. Then he says, win, and he says, working on it. Go Commanders, Coach Rivera.
So I understand the motivations here on both fronts to basically say, hey, you know, don't look back, look forward, et cetera. You guys weren't here. We need to look up. This really frustrates me. both of these letters being sent in response. Here's why. This is basically somebody saying, give us credit. Give us credit for what we've done. Give us credit. Give us credit. You sure you want to go down that road? Are you positive you want credit? Are you positive now just maybe that may not be the time to sit a few plays out to sort of let these proceedings happen? Because everyone's aware of who did what and when. We're just trying to get some accountability at the highest levels, the guy that signs your paychecks. That's all anybody's really after here is something. A lot of the same people are still employed. So the idea that it's all brand new, first of all, is a farce. Second of all, I'm sure you guys are doing a good job in these criteria that you guys are setting out. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't want this to be on my resume these last couple of seasons. So let's go to the business side first. Did you hit the Sean Taylor thing out of the park? You didn't. Did you get that right? Probably not. Are season ticket holders satisfied? Are everybody that went to the park, to FedEx Field, did they have a great experience this past year? I bet you most didn't. I bet you a lot didn't, as point of fact. What'd you do there on that side? Again, I don't know that I'd be bragging right now this minute. Was your big reveal for the new name after 2 years, Doug Williams going, we are the Commanders. Ha ha! Not something I brag about, to be honest with you. I wouldn't brag about that process, the rollout, everything else. I'm sure we got some good activations and we got some good retweets and social engagement, some metric that doesn't mean anything. But if we're excited about that, I would temper those bits of excitement. That's awesome. You're touting the diversity of your workforce. And I think representation matters. I think that's really, really cool. I don't care what race you are if you can't get the Sean Taylor thing correct, to be honest with you. To figure that part out. Now to matters of football for Ron Rivera. You want to be judged on right now? Are you sure? This is a part where it crosses over with the business side. How come you can't get 30 seconds of thank you, Ryan Kerrigan, for all the time? How come your DEA raid took place when you were getting your car washed on a Friday before a football game to drag your hand-picked trainer out turtle walk style, and he still hadn't been back? How about if you either lied to us every single day about Curtis Samuel or you didn't know? Either lying or inept. You pick. I don't know that I'd want to brag about everything. I don't know that I'd want to brag about the guy that you told us all season long in his second year was too immature to get the job done. So did you pick an immature guy or did you not coach him up the right way? Again, you either made a mistake or you didn't do a good job getting him ready for your defense that would drop 22 places in the rankings to go from reasonable expectations to off a cliff and the reason why you didn't have a good enough season to advance in year number two. Again, I wouldn't brag about these kinds of things. Before we start puffing our chests out and looking for all the kind of credit in the world because you feel, you know, as if you've arrived here, I would say let's pump the brakes on that sort of stuff. Here's what reminds me of it. I'll let you talk. I apologize. I monopolized the last several minutes. Remember when they brought in Scott McLuhan and then the organization trotted Scott McLuhan out everywhere to talk to everyone at all times? You, me, every local TV station, every radio, everybody that had an opportunity to put a mic in front of Scott McLuhan. So they basically treated him as the savior, as the white knight. And then when the team was okay, emphasis on okay, 9-7 and 8-7-1, when he got credit, because that's all we knew was this guy was the person we were supposed to talk to, people in the building got jealous and got mad and got pissed off that they weren't getting enough credit. And some of those guys don't work there anymore, by the way, because they were part of the sexual harassment culture. You were there before. You want credit for the good? Then why don't you take all the blame for how terrible it was the rest of your career? It's one of these things that really, really bothers me, and it probably shouldn't bother as much as it does. I know most fans are just going, yeah, wake me up in September. Let's see if they can beat Jacksonville in week one. But this kind of stuff where you're searching for credit as if you've accomplished something meaningful, to me, is something that it runs afoul of me a little bit, I'll say.
Well, I also think that there are a lot of fans, honestly, just looking at the responses while I've got his statement up here from his own social media account. And maybe it's selective because I'm just looking at the responses of people that follow him.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them are condoning and patting him on the back and saying, you know, we believe in you, we love you, Ron. And maybe that's part of why you put the statement out, is kind of to solidify your own base. Now, you made it sound like you didn't like either of the statements that got released.
Correct.
And one of them, I guess, technically wasn't a statement as much as it was an internal document from Wright, from Tanya, from Dan that was sent to their employees. And I think that was done really strategically, twofold. Number mm-hmm. one, you should address your employees on a day like when, I don't know, your owner's being challenged by Congress as to how they treat employees, specifically women. And so you should send something out and say, hey, here are just a reminder. This is the past. This is not who you work for now. If you're new here, this is not what you should be expecting. This is what we do now. But they also send that to Adam Schefter and have him post it.
Exactly.
And that way they don't have to release their statement. So I actually thought that that was the right thing for them to do, probably.
I think sending an email would have been very appropriate.
Yeah, and they did that. I mean, that was the statement that they put out. Right. They sent an email.
Which they released to Adam Schefter so that we all would
totally,
see it.
Totally, totally. If you don't like that they released to Adam Schefter, I got no problem with that. But the point is that they sent an internal memo to their employees, and then they fed it to someone to say, this is what the Commanders are saying. And so it worked really as their statement. I don't understand, though, and I don't like that Rivera made a statement at all in that. And I was talking to someone with the team about this. I just wish he would care less about all this stuff. Because he's right. This does predate him. It has nothing to do with you. Don't make a statement. You know what would have happened if he didn't make a statement? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing would have happened. No one's upset at you. No one is saying you're involved. You do it for a couple of reasons. Maybe the Snyders ask you to, because you're actually liked and respected. There aren't that many people in the building that are universally beloved around football. Ron Rivera is one of them. So in the same way, Jason Wright's name is going to appear with Dan and Tanya Snyder on the internal memo to employees because we like Jason Wright and we think highly of Jason Wright. Maybe they say, hey, Ron, would you mind putting something out about how far we've come as part of their big mission? In the mm-hmm. same way, remember when they were trying to get their stadium votes, which never happened, they had Rivera tweet.
Look at the architecture.
About the architecture. And they had Jack Del Rio before they decided to separate themselves from him as best as possible on social media. They had him tweet about the architecture and the plans for a stadium. So I kind of thought that was maybe strategic where there was an ask. But from Rivera, it might also be individual. He's trying to distance himself from the Redskins organization of the past, which I categorically understand. He should want to do that. He is, in some ways, kind of a victim when his name gets thrown into some of this, when this stuff was going on before he was here. But it is unnecessary. You're a football coach. Here's where it gets complicated. He's not just a football coach.
Yep.
He is also a general manager. He is also basically a president of football operations. He has the job of himself and, say, a McLuhan or a Kyle Smith or any of the top executives like a Doug Williams in the football operation along the way, and a Bruce Allen. So he has all that stuff. So he's not sending out that statement as the head coach of the team a la Andy Reid or who's the guy with the Eagles now who looks like the kid from
Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni. He's not sending out that message like he's Nick Sirianni. He's sending out the message as Bruce Allen, right? As the president of football operations, as the equal to Jason Wright on the football side. I just wish he would do less of that. I don't think it's necessary. I think we all know that you weren't here. The whole point of the statement was what? I wasn't here. Please just judge us on now. He said both of those things 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You don't need to say it again, as far as I'm concerned. But that's fine. He can put out the statement if he wants to. There is, though, this idea of bragging about doing things the correct and normal way. I never loved that. It's like, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. The bare minimum of having an HR department that can be reported to and not harassing employees and treating employees well and having this, changing the culture just means you've gone from an abhorrent one to what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, Chris Rock said it best. You don't brag about stuff you're supposed to do.
And that's kind of what that felt like was, Look at all the changes we've made from going from unacceptable to acceptable. Just keep your head down. Let Jason Wright make the statements. That's what he's here for. Let Dan and Tanya, or I guess Tanya and Dan, if we're going to keep pretending that trade's still going. Let them do all that. You just worry about finding me a linebacker. You know what I mean? You just worry about that defense not ranking 20-whatever this year.
Speaking of defense, what happened last week? Defensive coordinator, you had to find him $100,000. Is that a culture thing we're judging? Is that good? Is that bad? Everything's good there, I'm assuming?
And that's not an inherited defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
you brought him in.
Like
the DEA raid on your head trainer, was your first hire. So we're allowed to talk about that one or we're not? That one's on the last couple of your ledger or it isn't? Where is that one?
Yeah, go on the list. And that's you can think of countless examples of this stuff.
We haven't even talked about the fact that they're 14-19.
Yeah.
He pointed to a division championship.
You're Jay Gruden 2.0, dude.
And he'd have to do a little better, I would say.
He's looking up.
To get to Jay Gruden 2.0. But I think it's a fair critique. We can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines and ask you guys about this. 800-636-1067. Rivera says, judge us on right now as an operation. Judge us on our couple of years as a group, me and Jason and this new group. So the question to you guys is, does it look different? No one is going to sit here and say that internally they haven't made a lot of necessary changes, which are great. And if you're an employee of the team, that's a wonderful thing. But as a fan, Does it feel any different? Do you feel different about rooting for this team than you did a couple years ago? 800-636-1067 if you want to join us on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Ron Rivera's statement this week asked that we stop judging the team on the past, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing based on some of what he said before, but his statement was that they've made a lot of changes and things are going in the right direction. And he was brought in here to do two things, change the culture and win. He says he has already changed the culture, and next up is winning. We're asking you guys as fans if you see those changes, if you feel better about things. 800-636-1067. If you go to games, is the experience better? As a fan of this team, are you embarrassed less often? Are there less things that make you regret being a fan? And I would have to say, as an aside, that a lot of what constantly leads to the hard work you have to put in to just be a fan of the Commanders is Dan Snyder related, based on transgressions of the past. So again, you can't hang that on this group, but he is still the owner, and there's a very real question and a reality that is how much can really change as long as he's still running the operation based on everything we know and that has been alleged about the past. Let's go to Christian, who's in Richmond. What's up, Christian?
Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. I always talk about the non-football stuff because y'all do a really good job of covering the football stuff. I'm focusing on Jason Wright. And what I don't understand is why he always gets a pass. Because, I mean, you look at the things. I'm a season ticket holder. I go to every game. You know, last year, the season ticket holder payment deadline was moved up 2 months. The wrong year's on the crest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this coming January, there's a whiteout game in January outside. When's the last time anybody saw a white winter coat? I mean, you know, these are things that have to go through him. And, you know, I mean, I go to every game, and I'll be honest, those games are miserable. I mean, you know, I dread the traffic. You know, I'm in Richmond.
Was it any better this year in the stadium? Was your experience better? Perks as a season ticket holder, the time you had at the stadium, did it improve?
No.
Did it get worse?
I mean, my experience, it got worse because, I mean, the electronic ticketing was the problem because now the ushers can't check your tickets. And I have really good 50-yard line seats lower level. And people were, you know, bringing their girlfriends in and having sitting on their lap. And that for a section that's already crowded, it was even more crowded.
Huh. Well, that
next button.
I will say that's a COVID-related issue that was dealt with in a lot of stadiums, you know?
The electronic ticket stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That wasn't maybe a Commander's choice. I know that there are plenty of season ticket holders who for many, many years were collecting these yards, I think they were called, and you would be able to accumulate them, and it was for prizes, basically. So you could accumulate up to like 1,000 yards, and then you would get to go to a meet and greet, or you would get to kick a field goal at halftime, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the changes that they made, the yards just disappeared. Like when the last group left that was doing this thing, all of the effort you'd put in and the yards you'd compiled were just gone, and it was a nothing burger at that point. So there were things like that where the carryover should have been smoother, or maybe they should have thought more about those things. But specific to Jason Wright, I find him to be likable, and I think that's probably why. If you are deeming it as him getting a pass, I think that's probably why. He has people skills. He's a decent human being. He can converse with you. He's
not Bruce Allen.
He's easy to like. Yeah. You know, he says hi when he walks past you. Right. He remembers your name. Those types of things matter. And so whether that's fans who have one great experience with him and say something nice, or media members who engage with him, he's a decent person. So you give him the benefit of the doubt.
And it's always hard to tell, too, exactly who's what's call, right? Or, you know what I mean? What's what? Like,
yeah, on his watch, the Taylor tribute, the wrong ears on the crest, the name change rollout that some people didn't like.
Right. That feels like his, you know, or his office. But, like, how specifically? Did they run out of hot dogs in one section? Is that Jason Wright's fault? I don't know. I don't know how stuff works. Football-wise, I can tell you it's Ron Rivera. It starts, stops, and continues with him each and every time. It's all at his behest. The other stuff is more complicated, but Wright does oversee it.
I think that stadium-related stuff on game day, I have a hard time pinning on him, whether that's water coming out of the roof or anything else.
Things breaking.
That stadium has stunk for so long, and even Dan Snyder himself didn't build that thing. He inherited that, and that's one of their biggest issues. 800-636-1067, if you want to join us. Ron Rivera says, just judge us on our time here over the last couple of years, so we are trying to do that. Do you feel better? Do you feel like things are improving for you as a fan? That is the question. Plus, trying to figure out something fun to have Ryan do next week. We'll dive into that next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.